Hi, I'm Clemmie Telford and it's time to get open and get honest. Each week, I interview a guest about a topic that we, as a society, often shy away from. From sex lives to salaries, life and death, religion and real bodies, no subject is off the table. Welcome to Honestly, the podcast. I love tattoos and I particularly love the seven of mine that have been done by today's guest, Zaya. Her work not only brings me joy because of how talented she is, but she has also helped me reclaim my body as something that is truly mine. Though they are relatively common, tattoos still do divide opinion, so I thought it'd be good to get her in today and chat about the industry, about the business side of it, right through to her relationship with her body, which is also covered in tattoos. For me, it was really great to get her insight, and particularly so because it's the first time we've ever had a conversation where she wasn't inflicting pain on me with a tattoo needle. I hope you enjoy the episode. We're going to start with a quick fire round. On a scale of 1 to 10, how fun are you?
How fun am I? I think I'm quite fun, but I think I'm basically really goofy. And
are you?
Yeah, I'm really goofy, really clumsy. Not when I'm tattooing. When I'm tattooing, I'm like, I'm
no
not clumsy.
No one wants to hear about the clumsy tattoo.
Yeah, but as soon as I take away my needles and my machine, I'm just like falling off my chair and spilling my drink.
Did you think that's because you're so focused?
I don't know, maybe, yeah. In my other life, I'm just like, I try and do everything too quickly. So I just like fall over a lot.
So can you give me a number out of 10?
Out of 10, okay, fun. I forgot about the fun. I think I'm about 8. The only way I wouldn't say I was fun anymore is I don't go out that much. I'm not like a...
I think that's a natural
I'm not like a partier or anything. I'm just fun as in I'm like very, very happy and open. I'll do stupid stuff.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how popular are you?
I really don't know. In terms of tattoos, like, probably quite popular, but...
Talking about you as a person here.
Oh, me as a person.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, yeah, I think it's clear.
It's a weird one. In school, I was always kind of popular, but in a very small group. So not popular of the whole school.
Big fish in a small pond.
Yeah. But now, yeah. I don't know how popular I am. Maybe 6.
Is this something you never really think about as an adult? You're like,
yeah.
Oh.
I don't even know if I've got many friends these days. I've got quite a small friendship group.
So who's got the capacity to be a good friend to many people?
No. You kind of see when you move away from people, like, how many people stay close to you.
Yes, so you've just relocated from, not just actually anymore. When did you move?
August, yeah.
And have you seen a shift, like, the people you stayed in touch with compared to what you expect?
There's definitely a few that I would actually visit when I go down to London. Maybe, like, 6 or 7 people. Yeah, so it has changed, but it's good. I'm in this new place where I'm like, I've got to make friends again. So I'm like offering the girls at the coffee shop, like, do you want to go life drawing with me and stuff? Like, yeah, I'm delicious just making friends.
Well,
so it's
you,
really
though.
Nice. Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how rebellious are you?
I'd say when I was younger, I was about 9. I was always doing the wrong stuff at school, and I was a bit naughty, but now I feel like I'm pretty sensible. Apart from the fact that I have tattoos and stuff like that, I wouldn't say I'm very rebellious these days. Maybe 4.
Wow.
It depends what you're talking about.
Yeah, and also it depends what the world you live in. Because if you live surrounded by kind of creative and out there people, then you might not feel that rebellious. But if you went into a very safe setting,
yeah, then
where
I'd probably,
even having tattoos,
it is true that if I was in a really conservative place, like, I will look like the rebel.
Yeah,
but maybe it's just because I'm used to being from like very spiritual family, hippies, you know, artistic.
Yeah,
like,
so it doesn't feel.
Yeah, so it doesn't feel that rebellious these days.
I think that's important to reference. Favorite color.
Rust.
Oh, really?
I got really pretentious favourite colours. I like rust, I like mustard and teal.
Yeah, very specific palette.
Yeah, love them.
Most prized possession.
Oh.
You've just got a dog. I think he needs to get him in.
Oh, my dog. Okay, well, yeah, I didn't think about that. I was thinking more like an object. My dog is definitely a prized possession. I was thinking more like my mum's wedding ring that I'm wearing, which I thought I lost a few days ago.
How did you think you lost it, and where did you
come? I just finished tattooing and I went home and I thought I must have taken it off in my gloves, but someone found it on the carpet downstairs, and so I had a little bit of a wobbly, and then they were all like, you're an idiot, it's here.
The universe gave it back to you.
It did. It's not ready for it to go yet.
How would you describe your relationship with money?
I've always been really good with money. I just bought my first house and I've just always been a saver. Like, even when I was at uni and I had my little uni loan coming in, or like I don't know, I just, even when I was on a job getting paid £30 a day or something, I'd always have like at least £500 or £1,000 in the bank, like throughout my whole, I'd just save up and I wouldn't put it anywhere.
Do you
think
that's something you were taught by your parents?
No, not at all really. I just like, I shopped in charity shops. I was just really thrifty. I'm not really like it any more than now that I'm earning, but I'm still good at saving.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Mm. Unusual, I think.
Yeah.
Do you believe in marriage?
I do. I'm engaged.
Yeah. Can't really say no at this point. That would be really awkward.
That would be a letdown to Jamie. Yeah.
Have you always believed in marriage?
No, not at all. Actually, like when Jamie proposed to me, I just wanted to do it because of how much he wanted to do it, and not because of what I thought about marriage. I haven't really been like, oh, I need to get married in my life.
No, but that maybe is what it always comes, well, often comes down to. It's about a person. Mm-hmm. You might not believe in marriage with anyone else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we always said that we could get married however we wanted, whether it was just like a spiritual ceremony or we didn't have to do anything like...
Are you married? No.
No, we're still... We've just been a bit long organising the wedding. Oh. Yeah, it'll happen.
Yeah.
Sometime.
If you're going to be together forever, it doesn't really matter.
Exactly. It was something to look forward to.
Yeah. Is it ever okay to lie?
I think so. Only if it's going to do the person good and, you know... Yeah, I don't really know if I lie anymore. Yeah, maybe just to make someone feel better.
Yeah, white lies.
White lies, yeah.
Yeah, and I've joked about it many times. Once you become a parent, your life is sprinkled with lies. You've got to lie to them all the time.
Your life is a lie.
Because, yeah, it's just easier, isn't it?
Yeah, just like covering the truth
rather
than lying.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely, yeah, white lies or whatever you want to call them is okay, isn't it? Big lies, it always comes back to bite you.
Yeah.
What star sign are you?
Gemini.
Are you?
Yeah, I don't know anything about star signs.
So. I've been talking a lot about star signs recently, okay. And particularly Geminis, which is what my dad is. But he's got a fear that I talk about him on the podcast, so I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I'll tell you about Geminis off mic.
Okay.
What do you want to be remembered for?
I think really my singing, because even though tattooing has come first in my career, like the thing to be successful, my singing is what I've always wanted to do, and it's how I want to make
thing.
People open up and open their hearts and stuff with my voice, so that matters even more to me than my art, I think.
They're both different
both
art forms, which is quite amazing if you can be known for two different art forms. If you could have more of anything, what would it be?
Energy.
Really?
Energy, yeah.
Do you feel like you're lacking in energy?
I do. Even though I kind of do a fairly healthy diet, I'm now coming off the booze and I'm like trying to go down the sugar, as everyone is, like trying to give up everything, you know, dairy, meat, blah, blah, blah. I just still don't have a lot of energy and I love a good nap. I nap so much, like after work.
But in loads of cultures, that's
just normal, yeah.
Yeah, and you do a job that is very intense on you can't switch off while you're doing it, can you? So it's quite draining.
I think it's because I booked myself so full last year that I just like didn't give myself a chance to have like plus energy, like, you know.
Yeah.
I was just flat out all year, and so I was going home just so sleepy every day.
Three words your inner critic or imagined worst enemy would use to describe you.
Oh, controlling.
Oh,
I'm very controlling. I think it's something I'm trying to let go of.
That's a coping strategy, though,
to
try and be on top of things.
Mm. I'd also say bossy, but I don't know if that comes under the same
thing.
We can't
say bossy anymore. That's empowered.
Yeah. Right, that's
know your mind.
Maybe a bit brash or reckless, I'd say, sometimes with what I say.
Interesting.
Maybe not to think before things come out of my mouth. But I'm trying to learn. That is what I'm trying to learn.
To think before you speak.
Mm-hmm.
Or not speak.
Mm.
Anyway. That's got us in the flow. Now we're going to talk about tattoos, of course, which, as I acknowledge to you off mic, it's not as kind of gritty as some of the subjects that I've covered, which, to be honest, personally, I'm really glad about, because I can't always be doing things that really push my mind and things. But actually, it is still really divisive. The reason actually that prompted me for this is I was listening to talk radio, and there was a discussion from a guy who said he wouldn't employ someone with tattoos.
Old fashioned.
And I was like, wow. And my immediate reaction, obviously, is someone with tattoos, but that probably most, you know, there's GPs, there's solicitors, there's anybody you could meet at any moment in your life who's probably got tattoos that you can't see. And you only have to go to a beach or by a pool and be like, oh, wow.
How many people have them?
Yeah. I mean, and actually, in the UK, it is a huge amount. I've got some stats here. it's 45% of people aged between 30 and 49 have them. So that's nearly every other person.
30 and 39, did
you
say?
Yeah, that's the biggest proportion.
Well, my following on Instagram on the insights is all 18 to 24-year-olds from London, basically. That's like, I think, 80 or 90%
but
of people.
But I wonder how many of them actually become your clients.
It's true.
Because that's my...
Well, a lot of them.
Do they?
Well, yeah, because I mean, last year alone, I saw like 650 people. And they were all like seeming to be in that sort of age.
What, that young?
Yeah, well, they're all about my age. I'm 26. And yeah, they're all around my age. They all kind of look quite similar to me. We all dress the same. It's funny, like I really do have like...
a certain type.
Yeah.
If they're... that is quite an expensive undertaking when you're that young as
yeah.
well.
But, you know, out of all the things that people spend money on, I think it's more worth it. You know, people spend that much money just in Topshop, just buying a pair of jeans and a jumper or something like that. That's how much a tattoo might cost.
No, and also, yeah, I've never once have thought about the money as being an issue because you have it forever.
Me too. I've literally never... you are sometimes annoyed if it's overly expensive, but generally speaking, I'm happy to give the tattoo artist the money because it's... Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're... Yeah, you should be willing to pay for
if
it.
If you imagine buying a jumper and having to wear it for the rest of your life.
Yeah, but when did you get your first tattoo and what was that experience like in the studio and how did your parents react?
My mum came with me.
Did she? Yeah, how old were you?
I was 16.
Oh.
Yeah, so you're not allowed to get a tattoo then. And she came with me to... It's in Croydon. It's next to Up in Smoke. It's called Pain Divine. And it was a really scary shop. And everyone had really long hair and loads of tattoos. And they were all scary old men. And back in those days, Instagram wasn't a thing. So I didn't even know who the artist was going to be that was going to do my tattoo. I came with like a rough pencil drawing of what I wanted and just said, can you do this? And got this random guy. And the tattoo was a crop circle.
Oh.
Because I was a little hippie child.
But how is a crop... I want to see it. No one else is going to see it. How would you know it's... you can tell it's crop circle.
Yeah, so it's the stages of the lunar eclipse, but but it was depicted in a crop circle. And when we were younger, we used to go to little camping trips and go and sit in all the crop circles in Avebury. Out with my mum and meditate in them. So I think it's a good tattoo because I haven't regretted it. Like, you can't regret something like that.
No, you can't.
And that, like, looks wise, I feel like I was pretty on point because everyone's still getting the lunar eclipses these days. Yeah, and I fainted twice.
Did you?
Yeah.
Because you never experienced any that
pain. I was so scared. Like, until people always laugh because I'm a tattoo artist, but I had such a bad phobia of needles. Even these days, if the doctors tell me I have to get an injection, I will cry.
Like blood test or something?
Yeah, blood test. I'll literally cry. And that's stupid because I get a lot of tattoos, but they're not going into the skin. No. So I've kind of got used to the fact that they're just scratchy.
So is the bit that makes you... is it going right in?
Going right in, yeah. Yeah, so I started getting it done and my eyes blacked out and I got all sweaty and I was like, I just need to go to the toilet, please. And walked into the back room and I just plonked on the floor and like head first. And he just came in and picked me up off the floor, put me back on the chair and I was like, all right, let's keep going. And I fainted again halfway
through.
Did
you?
Yeah, and they charged me extra because I took up the extra time.
Did you?
Yeah.
I wonder, have you ever heard, do you know if that artist is still... around? It's so weird.
I have
weird
no idea. I don't even remember.
That fainting girl was going to go on to become a tattooist. And obviously your mum was good about it.
Yeah, she was good, yeah.
Has she got tattoos?
She's supportive, yeah. She went to Thailand like a couple of years ago and on her own and travelling and got like half sleeve of like mandalas.
Did she?
Yeah, really gorgeous. Yeah.
All in one go?
Yeah, in one go. She sat there for like 3.5 hours like meditating. She told me she just put in some like amazing music.
Have you
like,
tattooed
just,
her?
I haven't, no. She asked for a few tattoos recently. She was, we were in Mexico together this year and she was asking for an Om sign tattooed on her forehead.
Oh, wow. I mean,
and I was like, Mum, I'll let someone else do that, but and then we ended up not doing it, luckily.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? I was going to ask you about face tattoos. How would you feel about her getting that?
I think she should do whatever she wants. Yeah. You know, she's an amazing woman. She's like, and she can make these decisions now. She's not going to regret anything. She makes a decision when she's 60 57.
That is a bold thing. But she didn't.
She always wears like gold bindies there anyway. Okay, so she's used to having something on her forehead.
Yeah, so it feels like part of her.
Yeah. Yeah, she came with me to get a few of my piercings as well, which I also fainted for. I fainted when I got my belly pierced, my nose pierced and my tongue pierced.
Do you know what? I've had some more ear piercings in the last year. Give me a tattoo any single day.
Literally.
It's so painful and the healing process is long and slow.
Yeah, I just got fake earrings now because I'm not getting any more ear piercings at this age.
I was like really surprised at how painful it is.
Some people are absolutely fine with it. I was at a fashion show doing tattoos recently, and I think like 70 women got their ears pierced, like right opposite me in the room, and they were just
in the
like,
cartilage. I mean,
in the cartilage, yeah, all of those little gold rings, and I was like, "How are you doing this?" Like piercings, they still scare me so much.
And yeah, the healing is slow, whereas well, you're not in pain anymore with tattoos as soon as they're done, and then should be just a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Especially with yours, they heal fast.
Thanks.
That's a good sign, isn't it? And then how did you decide that this was going to become your career?
It was a weird one. Like, I had no idea that this was going to happen, any of it. I studied fine art at Chelsea, and I was doing, like, mostly, like, painting and a little bit of video work, and I was, like, put off by the fact that everything was so conceptual, and it felt really pretentious. I don't know. So I kind of got put off the art world. And when I left uni, I was a bit like, I'm not going to do art anywhere anymore. I'm just going to do music. So I was working at the Ritzy in Brixton, just doing bar work and just trying to do music, which, you know, is like really hard just starting out from nowhere. So my friend suggested that I get an apprenticeship. So I went to a shop down the road, Demzines in Streatham. Mm-hmm. You came to that one, didn't you? Yeah. And did my apprenticeship there. And they were amazing. They luckily let me start practicing after about 4 months. And I had loads of friends, and I was just like, please, can I practice more? Please, can I have more? And I just like pushed and pushed and pushed until I'd done a lot of practice. And it was weird. I had no idea it was going to be my career path. And then Instagram has changed loads in the time that I've done it as well. It's just like shot up. And I think my career happened at a perfect point of Instagram, when small tattoos were kind of just happening in Instagram.
But quite quickly as well, you worked out, I mean, again, having been tattooed by you, about getting the shot right at the end, which that makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How you like that, how you, display what you're doing.
Mm-mm.
But Instagram's transformed it, hasn't it?
Yeah, I take notice of like the aesthetics of my page loads, which I mean, you do as well. And I like looking down at it and seeing the colours and seeing the different like works rather than, like, that's a big, I take pride in that. I realised at one point that at the end of the day, if I've done 6 tattoos or something, I might be so tired that I don't even remember the tattoo I've done first or second. And the only thing I get to keep from these artworks is my photo. So like the best I can do it is good for me. Yeah, there's a few shops who have kind of picked up. I think maybe it started in like LA and New York with Bang Bang and Dr. Wu, that they were making these really modern, like beautiful tattoo studios.
Nice spaces.
Exactly. And a few people in London have been influenced by that. Both the shops I work in, South City Market in New Cross is one of the best ones in the whole of London.
They give you
love
a drink when you go in.
Yeah.
The first time
there's
you're like,
drinks,
oh.
You got to get Fanta, you can have a tea. And it's just such a nice space and everyone's lovely there. You know, there's no ego, especially in my new shop. It's Top Boy Tattoo in Hove, and everybody's so happy and welcoming there. You couldn't feel judged if you tried. Like, it's such a smiley environment.
Yeah, but too right. So what, a couple of people messaged me about like going right back to basics if someone is thinking about getting a tattoo, how that process should be, about like researching. And because when I had my first tattoo when I was 18, which is a flaming star on my ankle, very 90s.
Nice.
I just literally walked in with a picture and said, do it. Like, and I mean, I guess there is an important part in walk-in culture. Do you have any space for walk-ins in Top anymore?
Is that we're on the second floor, and there's a doorbell with a little, you know, video. Yeah. And they more or less, if you don't have an appointment, you more or less can't come in, which is because everything is done by email. But with the separate artists, you know, there's not even a shop manager to organise people. We're literally self-employed within that shop. So you have to speak to the person before you come
so
in.
So that kind of...
You could speak to them to organise a consultation, but most of the time
it's kind of, that's changed, hasn't it?
It's just all online these days. You don't really pop into shops anymore.
So the basics are find an artist that you like the look of, and then get in touch, but often now with a really big waiting list.
It's true. Some people aren't really happy with the waiting list things. I've had a few catty comments recently, but it's just the way things go. If someone gets popular, you might have to wait, like, you know, 3-4 months or even a year to get tattooed by them. And if you want it enough, if you trust their style enough, like, it's worth the wait.
Well, exactly. I've joked before that I'm kind of glad that I can't get in with you as much as I would have liked, because I'll be absolutely
covered.
And it's actually really good just to sit with it. This is a decision for life, isn't it? And to sit with it for a bit and check whether you still like it. But I'm sure once people book, most of them stick with it, don't they?
A lot of people change, because my bookings happen like most of the time around March. For like one day I'll open the bookings, people kind of tend to like really panic and rush and just write something, and then they'll tell me that they want something different later on in the year.
And is that a problem for you?
No, I don't mind. I literally draw the night or the day, like the night before or the day of the tattoo these days. So I don't really need any preparation. Yeah, preparation time. I feel like once the whole year's passed, they've been looking at the Instagram page, seeing loads of more different ideas, and they just want new things by then.
Really?
Yeah, and a lot of people come and say, oh, I've been wanting this tattoo for 10 years and I've been waiting for the artist and you're the girl, you know, and that's amazing for them that they've wanted that idea for so long. But me personally, if I didn't get the tattoo, I wouldn't get it after that long because I'd be onto something else.
Yeah.
I'm quite spontaneous when I get tattoos.
Well, because they usually mean something very much in that moment in your life. Although you did say to me that as you go on, mine nearly all have a lot of meaning attached to them. But as you get to a point, you're just like, I just like that.
No. Apart from the last one that we were just saying that we liked so much.
So
I
went in wanting something. I wanted a silhouette of me breastfeeding Greta, and then we put it on my ribs and it didn't look good, and that's all right. So it was like, well,
I was like really honest. I was like, okay, I just don't think we should do this
today. I mean, generally, and I'm in a good place for my body, but if you have to lift your boob up to be able to see anything, then it's probably not the place for a side boob tattoo. Missed that moment. But yeah, then we just did some leaves on my arm, which I love.
I'm obsessed with leaves, and you can say they don't really have a meaning, but they are nature, nature has the most important meaning, really.
Yeah, and you can never go off that, can you?
Exactly. They've got, like, tropical memories, all of the palm leaves. I'm obsessed with tropical leaves. I feel like it's nice getting light-hearted tattoos that you don't, especially after you've had a few that are really deep and have, like, loads of meaning attached to them, or this is from where I grew up, or this is the flower my granddad used to grow, or
this is just some nice leaves.
This just looks nice.
Yeah, but you're right, because I've said to you before, can you have too many flowers? And really,
some people get only flowers, only different sorts of flowers all over the body.
And again, you're unlikely to go off that. Mm-hmm. But then that is a common thing that people say, oh, what, you know, won't you hate it when you're old? Look, I would not choose a flaming star anymore. But that doesn't matter, because 18-year-old me really, really wanted it. And I kind of feel connected to that version of me.
Yeah.
Do you feel that? Although, actually, you're in the process of getting some removed, aren't you?
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people really want to cover up ones that they've got when they were 16 or 18. Or they want to get them... I tell them they should probably get them lasered, because the cover-up is just not going to be worth it. It'll just make it big and horrible. And I think it's mostly because the work then wasn't good. You know, people's work was often on the wrist. Everybody's got these names on the wrist. Particularly like women of a certain age. Everyone comes in with a tattoo on their wrist and it's blown out.
Yeah,
and it was just a thing at one time. Yeah. So I understand if they want to get that taken off. But, I mean, I think you're quite at peace with that tattoo. And a lot of people aren't like that. They just hate having it on their body.
I mean, would I be at peace with it if it was
on show?
Yeah, it's like on my feet don't look great anyway, so it's fine. But I don't like... I've got a moustache on the collection that I've got with Ben, but he likes it. Mm. And that was a commitment to us. So, yes, why are you getting yours removed? You just don't like them anymore.
It was one that I did on myself while I was an apprentice.
Well, that's such a chapter of your life, isn't it?
I know, but I think when I walked into my apprenticeship, I saw the people in there who were covered in tattoos, and I just thought, this is me. I want this for my life, and I'm going to get covered on my legs, covered on my arms. And it was a particular style, like really bold lines and maybe a bit more traditional than I would have liked. So I got a really big rose on my knee, and then I tattooed a kind of quite big peony, like on my ankle, lower leg. And after a while, I just started kind of looking at like girls who had plain legs and just feeling really jealous. Yeah. I didn't just have, especially because I've got loads of tattoos on my arms now. And if I do want to decide to go smart and wear maybe a long sleeve dress, I'd quite like to have plain legs. Like, I don't want to always be the tattooed girl, because it's such a big part of my identity these days that sometimes
that you
it's
want
nice
to like
escape it.
I weirdly fell down a YouTube hole. I don't usually watch much YouTube. I don't know what I was looking at. But this program where they take very, very tattooed people and cover them all up with makeup, and then they see themselves.
Mm.
And it does, like, really take a massive part of your identity away.
It does, yeah.
And it is, yeah, I guess it is nice being able to be in control of that. Mm. So no more leg tattoos for you?
I don't know, unless... Yeah, I do feel slightly when I look in the mirror that I've got so many on my arms and then not other places in my body. When I'm wearing clothes, it's fine, because it just looks like I have tattoos. And when I'm naked, it's like, I feel like I have to get some more down there, but...
To even it out.
I'm just scared of getting leg tattoos now. I just feel like I'll regret them. I'll ruin my nice, like, plain body. I'm in a bit of that mood these days. Like, I was in the tattoo stage for a long time, getting loads.
Now you're in kind of a bit of a cleansing
stage. Yeah, a bit of a plain stage.
Talk to you about tattoo removal. Is it really painful?
It is painful. The first time I went to do it, I was like in the same space as when I was getting my first piercings and tattoos, and I thought I was going to faint, like so scared, because I'd heard how bad it was. But I just did a meditation technique, alternate nostril breathing, and I was sitting there intensely just going throughout it, and it took about 5 minutes. But Natalie, the lady who does it for me, is so good, and I don't know. It was really painful, but I did get through it with breathing.
Worse than the tattoo.
Yeah, it feels like, I always say it feels like you're getting hot oil spat at you constantly, like this.
But it's quick. It's not like a tattoo appointment.
Well, it takes 5 minutes of complete pain, I'd say. My one's kind of big, so that's why it takes 5 minutes. If you have like your little wrist ones, they'd take less than 30 seconds.
And how often do you go?
6 weeks. Every 6 weeks. And I've had 8 sessions so far, and I reckon I'm halfway. So it takes like a year, you know, to get rid of something, depending on how light
it is. Will it end up looking like a scar? Will it have nearly... It will have.
I think the only reason it will look like a scar is because I scarred it when I tattooed, because I was really near... I was really early on in my apprenticeship, and I used numbing cream, and I just don't think I knew how deep I was going. So I think I went really deep on the back of the shading, and I think I've scarred it, not the laser. So I'll have kind of bumps, but I'll be happy with a bumpy, plain skin rather than the tattoo, yeah. I'm not going to cover it up. I just want to try and get bare skin.
Talk to me about actually how you do you, because some people learn on like pig skin, don't they? Did you do that?
Yeah, I was vegetarian at the time, so pig skin was nice and fun. I had to go down to the butchers.
It
was
so that's how you have to
stinky.
Start to do it to get the...
Yeah, so I did a couple practice skins, which are these little thin sheets of paper, but they're just not realistic. Like your needle can just go straight through them and it's hard to feel... Yeah, it doesn't feel like real skin. So I did pig skin. I think I only did it twice. At that moment, I was drawing like knives and cobras and stuff like that. Like it wasn't really my style. Now I didn't know what style I wanted to start with, so it was more traditional back then. And I did this one big piece of pig skin where I did 4 kind of flash pieces, and they were different hand signals. So like fingers crossed, and then an A-OK kind of signal. And I put that on my Instagram, and I just said anyone who wants these tattoos. Come and get them, and they came. And yeah,
what, your mates?
Yeah, my mates, and they weren't even that bad.
What are you learning? How deep to put the needle, and how to be comfortable? Because you're inflicting pain on someone as well.
Yeah. That was a weird one. I feel like I settled into that quite naturally. Yeah, it has never really bothered me putting pain on someone
because they've elected to do it, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. If anything, it just makes me nervous laugh if they're in a lot of pain.
Do you sometimes... Well, I think I came into the studio one day and you'd just done a guy who hadn't coped that well with it. Is it funny, the people who buckle under... Well, you're a fainter, it turns out.
Yeah. I've always been really understanding of people who can't take it. Until more recently, and then I've kind of, like... Because I've had so many people come in and be absolutely fine with it and say, oh my God, it wasn't as bad as I thought. Maybe it's because I'm doing fine line stuff these days and it's not really that deep or that painful. Maybe. But people just take it so well.
Some thicker lines more painful.
It's weird. It's completely debatable. Like everyone says different things. I'd say the fine lines, they feel a little bit more sharp and scratchy, but less deep. And the thick lines, it feels a bit more blunt, so it's slightly hotter.
Yeah.
I actually like the thick lines. I don't think they're that bad. But it's really hard to say.
I always think with tattoo pain, it's just the sort that you can grit your... It doesn't...
Exactly.
It's not like... It's just really top-level pain, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can...
It's something you can handle, and you've done it. You're there paying for it, so... I don't really ever feel bad.
Although I have had one tattoo on my period before and it hurt a lot more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did someone on their period the other day and they were not enjoying it.
No, I mean, I've even had waxes when it's not...
Yeah, I had a massage on my period once and I was literally like, get off
me! But it's really hard if you're trying to plan loads in advance, I suppose. Definite points that are more painful.
Yeah. Yeah, over the bone, like the elbows or, you know, the knees on the foot and stuff. And the ribs, they're quite painful, but they're completely doable. Everyone's so scared of the rib tattoos. It's a big talking point, like, oh, you're getting your first one in your ribs, that's going to be horrible. But if it's small, you can handle it. I think it's only if you're getting something huge and really shaded that you'll have trouble on your ribs.
I do see that some first tattoos come straight to you and go quite big straight away, don't they?
Yeah, some people do. I feel like some people want to make the most of the fact that they've been waiting so long.
Yeah.
Or some people just are into bigger tattoos, and then others literally want to get the smallest and most discreet ones. So, yeah, there's a bit of both.
What is the kind of What's a particularly memorable, or any memorable tattoos you've done? Weird ones, or can you not say?
Weird ones.
Yeah.
I always say any... this, because actually people ask me the same questions, like, day to day. I'm going to scare anyone coming to see me, so they won't want to ask these questions anymore. But I really do get repeat questions.
Yeah, of course. It's like
which is, yeah, one of them is, what's the weirdest tattoo you've ever done?
Yeah.
And I did one which was a round bird. So it was a bird that kind of looked like a ball of string. Inside of a triangle, drinking a pint of beer, wearing a Peaky Blinders hat.
Did they come in with that brief then?
Yeah, they texted me when they were drunk, and they were like, I want to get this matching tattoo with my brother. We thought of this while we were drunk. I was like, all right, let's do it.
Where did they have it done?
On their shin and their calf. It looked good.
Did it?
Yeah, it did look good, yeah. I like the little pint of beer.
Have you ever tattooed a willy? Do people have tattoos in those old school shops?
No, I've not even done. No,
you've done face,
I've not
even
done vagina either.
Haven't you?
No, I have done face. Yeah, I did one on Loz tattoo at my old. Yeah, have I done another one? Yeah, I've done some leaves on the face as well.
Have you?
I like a face tattoo.
Do you?
But only this. Only I'd say like I quite like subtle ones. Maybe not the above eyebrow ones and stuff.
No,
depends who neck you are. If you're covered, fair enough.
Yeah, it's kind of gone to a point. Mm. The necks must be hard to do.
I've only done one proper neck tattoo over the front, which is in my apprenticeship, and it took me about 3.5 hours, and like it scarred me. It was scary.
Yeah, it's quite weird, isn't it?
Yeah, even if I touch the front of my neck, then it makes me like gag or something. So I feel really bad for him. Like he was not having a fun time.
Wasn't he?
I'd be better if I did now because I'm a lot faster now. But I feel like
I dragged
it out. Then
you have to put them in some. It's hard.
You have to like lean on their chin, and they have to be right leaning their head over the back of the bed.
Yeah, that's not easy.
Yeah, it's not fun.
What's your favourite place to tattoo?
Arms. Always arms. Yeah. I like calves as well and thighs, but it's just the tightest skin for me. Like. The ribs is an annoying place to tattoo, even though everybody wants it on the ribs.
Because it's bumpy.
It's mostly just because I have to bend and stretch round you, so I'll be, like, bending to get my ink and then stretching, like, side stretching right over your body, whereas if I have an arm in front of me, it's right in front of my face. Yeah. I don't have to do any twisting because my body gets quite tired. But the skin on the forearm and the outer arm is just the best. I feel like designs always look the best there as well because it's a flat kind of surface, like rather than the ribs. When you move your arm up and down, it stretches and
lower
it goes
back,
under.
That was
your...
very on trend and once.
It was, and it's not anymore at all.
Combat, wasn't it? 90s is back and everywhere.
Tramp stamp, yeah.
How did you come to find your style then?
It's weird. I always say that people's style is just the way they naturally draw because I didn't really come to it or think of it or anything. It was just when I started drawing outlines of things. And then I would naturally fill it in with either some like little subtle shading or maybe dot work. It just is how I draw. I've always kind of doodled with like biros in my notebooks and stuff and liked the kind of like black fine line stuff.
Yeah.
Even though what I was doing at uni was completely different. It was like really colourful, big abstract paintings, like always focusing on like naked ladies and
Which is now coming back.
Yeah. Weirdly. Now in the fine line, I'm putting some kind of like watercolour type colours in the background. So that is coming into it
it's
now.
Funny, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, but you can see people's styles. It's such a fun night game when you know the tattoo world to be like, oh, is that that person? That's that. And I can point out on people's arms, like, if it's a style, it should be instantly like recognisable to the artist.
I always ask the good people of Instagram some insight about their feelings towards a subject. So I asked them if they had a tattoo, 47% did.
Mm.
Do you regret any of your tattoos? 33% did, which is quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then I asked them what they had and what their job was, and there was loads of answers, but these were some notable ones. Someone who had 14 and she was a teacher, 20, a nurse, 1, a CCO, 2, who's a clinical coder for the NHS. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds good. 4, but none of them visible because I'm cabin crew, and I had a couple of cabin crew get in touch. That one of the only jobs where you're categorically not allowed to have it on show.
It's funny.
Someone who works for the Home Office who has 17, and someone with 19 who's a life coach. And you must have that with your clients, that it's sometimes the people you least expect to have massive pieces, don't you? There's not a ton.
Yeah, I don't.
Or do you? You're
I don't
saying
get you, that many people that have a lot of tattoos.
Don't you?
I really do. Like, if I do 6 tattoos in a day, I'd say 3 or 4 of them are always first tattoos.
Really?
Unless I'm doing a repeat customer, I probably only have like I would say about 15% or something of people come with other tattoos, let alone a lot of other tattoos.
That's really interesting, isn't
it? It's like kind of it does make me feel like my work is for the non-tattooed person and.
Yeah, and also you're like, not that there's a huge amount of you on your Instagram, but you come across as that you wouldn't be intimidating, and both the studios that you've worked at aren't intimidating, are they?
Yeah, like I really think that getting a tattoo of someone is an energy exchange, and you have to have or make a good relationship with that person, because I've had so many people who want to get a tattoo lasered just because they hated the guy that did it.
I asked people if they didn't have them, why not? They said they couldn't imagine liking them when they're 80, too permanent, my dad would hate it, I want to be one of the four people in 10 years who don't have one, commitment issues, I hate them, I'm nervous about the pain. All of those are valid reasons. Don't be worried about the pain. The pain is really just doesn't feel part of the equation, does it?
Yeah, coming from a person like me who was absolutely scared.
Here.
Yeah, a fainter. I think it was more me working myself up. I came in so scared about what it was going to be like. And every time now, I still have those nerves. And as soon as it starts, I'm just like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes about 2 or 3 minutes for your body to adjust to what you're doing, because it is a bit like, oh, at first, like, what am I doing? And then it just does adjust. Like, the adrenaline kicks in and you're able to go, like...
Mm. You can feel quite weird after, though, can't you? If you've, like, I think, your blood sugar can drop.
Yeah, I always just say, I always bring a Mars bar and a Lucozade with me, because you just keep, like, on a tattoo day, I take it, like, as a cheat day with my diet, and I'll just eat whatever I want, because you need to keep your belly full, not let yourself get faint, yeah.
No, you do, it uses your adrenaline, which is tiring, isn't it?
Mm.
If you have got them, what was your motivation for getting them? I asked people, they said they like the way they look, to commemorate something... it helped me reclaim my body that I didn't love, to celebrate turning 40, because everyone had them in 1995. I can't stop finding amazing artists. And I think Instagram is kind of brilliant and terrible for that, because if you follow enough brilliant artists, it's kind of a drip thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You see it every day.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. I was drunk. You haven't tattooed anyone drunk, have you? Yeah.
Only when I was drunk, too.
Together.
Yeah. When I was like 17.
Oh, I mean, that's all right. I was hungover. Why not? You only live once. And yeah, I think there were a couple of people saying, hungover.
Hungover's a funny one. Is your hungover, go get a tattoo.
Oh, I couldn't think of anything worse.
That's something I would do.
No. Have you ever felt judged or criticised? Yes, by my nan, by my in-laws, a lot, by school mums. It's came up a lot. The ones on my arms make me feel butch. And someone said, who cares what other people think? They're for me. I asked people how their tattoos made them feel, and they said it made me feel unique, nostalgic, hot, a survivor, embarrassed, like a tart, cheap, badass, authentically me, old, semi-cool but semi-embarrassed, in charge of my body. And I think there's a huge thing. That's how I feel every time I get a new tattoo. I feel like I look more like me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that?
I don't know. It's weird because now I feel like I'm me, now that I can see the collection on me. And if I looked back at me with plain skin, I would have lost a lot of my identity, for sure.
How do you handle terrible ideas?
I'm quite honest with them. Like, in the same way I've been honest with you about your tattoos, that if I don't think it's going to work, I will just tell you. And people do listen to me, which is nice. If it's a really bad idea, I'll tell them over email so I don't have to do it to their face.
But mostly people are coming for your particular style.
Exactly. So. I can't really be, in shock if they've asked me for a flower. Like, none of that. There's not really... I don't get that many bad ideas. Like, I'm just quite specific about maybe what flowers will go together well, or whether that's going to fit on that place in the body. It's not really horrendous ideas that I get.
No, you're not going like... Mm. Yeah, people aren't coming to have that, like, the football... team. And then really, I guess, to talk about the business side of it, how does it work? You rent your chair.
I rent a chair. I pay a day rate, but often people pay a percentage. So I started off paying 50-50%, and then as I got better, I worked down to giving away 40%, and then the people at my shop 30%, but I chose the day rate because I like to know that it's a specific amount every day and I can work as hard as I like. A kind of sure amount. Yeah, that feels better for me. But for other people, it feels better going on the percentage, because say if they have all cancellations and they've got only one client, they only have to give away a small amount rather than having the pressure of filling their day.
And how do you learn what your day rate is? Do you talk to other artists? Do you know when you've kind of stepped up a gear?
Well, there is just a set day rate in shops. It was only moving at the first bit because I was an apprentice and It says I started making more money, they took me down because they thought it was fairer. But usually there's a set rate for the shop.
What, if everyone in there will be on the same amount?
Yeah, the same thing, yeah.
And then it's up to you how much you can
exactly
get out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or how much you then charge your clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I feel like I'm still kind of charging the London prices now that I've come to Brighton, whereas maybe Brighton would be a little bit cheaper usually. I can't tell.
But people are going there for you, aren't they?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Same with the other artists there.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, people will travel for a tattoo. Like,
it's not mine.
Even though a lot of my clients are from London, loads of them coming from like Scotland or like Belgium or France.
And have you travelled much? Have you done many guest spots?
I've only done Bristol Tattoo Convention and a guest spot in Rome, which was really nice, at a lovely shop, Oreo Rome.
But that's becoming more and more common, isn't it? That's why it's like the most liberating job now, from something that was really underground. You can literally go and work anywhere.
And it's amazing because you can go and work alongside other artists. Like, I'd really like to go and work in LA one day for a week or two.
In terms of the business side again, and just because I've been talking a lot about women and money, you said yourself you worked very hard last year and didn't give yourself any breathing space. Have you reflected a bit on that and how you're going to go about it this year? Well, I've seen you're trying to shift things a bit, aren't you?
Yeah, I knew that I wanted to save up for the deposit on the house. And so for 2 years, I worked just like a slave, basically. Like, it was 4 or 5 days a week, but it was just the most tiring days I can ever say. You've got to put so much, like, attention on tattooing. The light's so bright and your hand's hurting and your back's hurting. Those 2 years absolutely did me.
But it was
so tired. It was good, yeah. But now I have the house and I'm settled in Brighton and we have a puppy and I just want to slow down. Yeah, and, you know, my boss wants me to be as happy as I can be in the working environment rather than being, you know...
Also, otherwise you'll burn out, won't you?
Exactly. He can kind of tell that I'm a bit tired and, yeah, I need to spend a bit more time sitting around the table with the other artists when they're drawing in between clients, whereas I was just in, out.
Yeah, and actually learning from each other.
Yeah, because I feel bad for my clients being like that as well. Like, I don't want to feel like I'm pushing them out the door after they've waited so long for it. Yeah.
What has the whole of tattooing, I suppose, taught you about yourself and life? Is there any big picture stuff?
It's made me have such a big love for nature, which I didn't have before. Even though I liked being in nature, I wasn't looking at the plants or the trees or anything in that way at all. And now I feel like I'm a botanist or something. I know all the names of the flowers. Yeah. And I also like when I draw something over and over again, I like learning how the flowers formed and knowing what leaves are on each flower or, you know, what pollen they have. It's really cool. That's been one of the main things for me.
It's a real privilege actually just to see people's bodies. You know, we spend so much time beating ourselves up, and I've had these conversations with you and you're like self-critical, and then I bet you look at all these different bodies and just think all of them are amazing, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Yeah, it's so nice having people like have up their body confidence because of something that I've done.
Yeah, that's massive. Mm-hmm. Really massive.
It's just true, because I used to look in the pictures of me or look in the mirror and just see fat arms, and I don't really have fat arms, but it was, you know, a lot of people have that feeling. And then now I just see my tattoos, I don't see the arms anymore.
No, I know. It's interesting,
isn't
it?
It is a real point for me that I just see my nice tattoos and not the arms, yeah.
I love tattoos. You obviously love tattoos. And I think there is no big thing other than that there are good ones and there are bad ones. And to think before you do it and to do your research.
I think it's definitely a point that you should try and see the artist's healed work before you go to them. And because people, particularly fine line stuff, can spread out a little bit over time. Yeah. So definitely try and see their healed work.
Yeah, because that could be a big difference.
Yeah.
Before we finish up, where can people find you? And this is very important because, as you mentioned a couple of times, you are also a very, very talented musician.
Thank you.
really, really good. Where can they find you for that?
Yeah, so you can just search Zaya either in Instagram or in Spotify, and it's Zaya. And so I have about 5 singles already on Spotify and on Apple Music, a couple of videos on YouTube. Yeah, and then most of it is on the Instagram. You find everything.
Yeah, you can
there.
Do a bit of Googling, you'll get there.
Exactly.
But it is really, really worth a listen. It's beautiful
stuff.
Thank you. I always like to do a bit where I ask my audience to complete this sentence. I'll be honest, and these are some of the answers, wish I'd married someone rich so I didn't have to work. Find sweet potato very offensive. I'm really too tired for this shit. I can't abide grey tracksuit bottoms. I'm lonely. I need to end my marriage. I love my husband, but I don't find him attractive. I've eaten way too many what's-its. I regret buying grapes instead of pork scratchings. I think we should opt for full custody of my stepdaughter, and I feel like Harry should have told the Queen. I'm going to do one for myself. If I'm honest, I had to force myself not to start watching Love Island. I'm refusing to be sucked into it this year. I'm not going to spend however many weeks viewing bodies that make me feel crap and also for nothing. So I'd like a I'll be honest I from you.
Oh my God.
Sorry, first thing that comes to head. And you can be, it can just be like what's it? So it can be anything you like.
I'll be honest, I'm not a vegan anymore.
I knew you've unveganed.
I've unveganed.
I've read some really interesting articles about it though, that actually veganism isn't always that great for the planet because of the way some of it has to be produced and not that good for your
body. It's such a tricky question because everybody's doing it for the right reason.
Yeah.
I just feel, you know, a lot of my clients, like, they used to see me cooking vegan meals on my stories and stuff, and they sometimes bring me vegan treats. And I appreciate
vegan.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate that so much, and it's been like a guilty thing. Like, she's not vegan anymore. I'm so sorry.
But you don't eat meat. Or you fully end everything. Nothing, everything in moderation.
Some fish and a little bit of meat, and then I'm just trying to stay off the dairy and stuff. It's just tricky. I'm trying to eat mostly organic and do the best I can.
Yeah. That's all right. She's not vegan. She's honest about
it. Sorry, guys.
So I've been Clemmie Telford, and this wonderful woman has been Zaya, and this has been Honestly Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe, and tell your mates all about it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Honestly. If you found this week's episode interesting, which I hope you did, I'd love to know your thoughts. So please do give me a rating or review, and even better, hit the subscribe button. That way you'll get each week's episode delivered straight to you.